ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff. It's finally here, Jared. It's finally here. The NBA draft lottery is tonight, 7:30, right ahead of the Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals between the Clippers and Phoenix, which is scheduled to start at 8. So the good news is it's only going to be a 30-minute production and not an hour, which I was afraid it was going to be a whole hour of build-up and waiting on the thing to actually happen. But it's just going to be 30 minutes. So we'll know the fate.
It shouldn't even take that long.
It really shouldn't take more than about 10 seconds.
Turn on the little machine that blows the balls around.
They've already got it done. That's what's the thing. They've
already got it done.
It's already done. They've got the.
So what is it going to leak this afternoon?
It never seems to.
Woj bombs.
Be careful. Be careful tonight. Make sure you don't get suckered in by a fake Woj or fake Shams.
Yeah, make sure it has the blue check mark.
Blue check at the real Woj. Anyway, it's going to be fun. Fun stuff. We'll be able to actually know where the Thunder pick. We'll be able to discuss now who do you want at that spot, who might fall, and it'll be for real. It's not going to be.
It'll be speculatory.
We don't have to speculate.
We don't have to. Well, if it's at this pick, we want this guy. If it's at that pick, we want that guy.
Who do you want with the number one and the number five, Jared? We'll tell you what the odds are of all that stuff. Ask Jared if he has his, you know, maybe he's got his lucky Thunder underwear on.
Well, I was about to ask you
Try to do that.
What do you do for luck? That's a good discussion. What do you do for luck in situations like these?
I don't know. You know what the Thunder have decided to do?
Change their colors to green and...
Nope. Send Nazi Muhammad to the lottery. Nazi Muhammad is the Thunder's
representative. Okay.
So hopefully Nazi's the lucky guy. We'll tell you what the odds are for the different situations for OKC as well. What may be a landmark decision came yesterday, kind of at the end of our show, so I didn't really get into it because I wasn't sure exactly what it said, with the Supreme Court ruling against the NCAA. This ruling in particular doesn't necessarily doesn't bury the NCAA as an entity completely, but you know what it does?
They dug power away from them.
And they dug the grave. Now it's just a matter of another couple of lawsuits finishing them off. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about kind of what happened yesterday, what that ruling means, and what's next. And then what does it look like without the NCAA? How did college football in particular, did it just change forever yesterday? So that's kind of some of the things on our mind. Might figure out, you know, Jared might have something else as well that he's wanting to talk about. You know a guy that we don't talk about near enough?
Who's that?
We've a little bit talked, but not near enough.
Jesus.
Well, for sure. That's definitely at the top of the list.
Who's that?
Ohtani.
Oh, Ohtani. Okay.
And also...
Do we have to? I mean, he's on my team's rival.
Yeah, but...
He's a great player.
Oh, my gosh. He's doing stuff that's literally never happened.
Yeah. And what's awesome about him is he's doing stuff that the great... LeBron won't do.
What's that?
Participate in all-star events.
Oh, yeah, he's going to hit in the home run derby.
Yeah.
And also, Will, close your ears toward the end of the show. Did you see what Javi Baez did yesterday?
No.
It's something you probably see every single weekend. So, kids, when your coach or your parents yell at you for not knowing how many outs there are, just say, hey, Javi Baez didn't know either. What's up, Jared?
How are you?
I got to tell you, dragging a little.
A little fun last night?
I stayed out a little bit too late.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm dragging just a little bit.
Monday.
Yeah.
You had the Monday blues? Had Monday to cure
meeting.
Him
last night? It was Monday meeting night.
Oh, I see.
Stayed out too late. So
I see.
Here we are.
Had a meeting, did we?
Yes. A little bit tired.
Okay.
A little bit tired, but other than
How about that weather last night? Was the meeting outside or no? No, man. No. I would say, guys, let's take the class outside. Remember when the teacher used to do that sometimes?
Yes, yeah. That was one of the funnest days in school.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, we had practice last night, and more or less, it went a little long because
it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It's beautiful today.
Yeah, and unfortunately tomorrow, back to the heat. This last I saw, it's what it looked like.
Yeah, 100.
Us. Yeah. Oh,
you know,
hundreds.
We've got the fishing derby coming up on Saturday.
That's always so cool. We got some good stuff this year. Every year.
You know what's not cool?
What's that?
When you look at the 40% chance of rain for Saturday.
Oh.
That's not great.
What's the window there? What time? Do they have a time?
I haven't seen the time yet.
Well, you know what's cool?
What?
I'll go with it. What's cool is that the kids' fishing derby, our good friends at Grants Auction Realty, is giving away 2 lifetime fishing licenses.
Yes, they've been doing that for the last couple of years now.
Very neat.
Yeah, I mean, if you catch their tagged fish, bam, lifetime fishing license.
Boom, they got 2 of them from 8 to noon. Chance to win lifetime fishing license.
There's going
to
be all kinds of cool prizes.
For the kids.
For the
dad,
kiddos.
For the kids, mom and dad.
T-shirts for the first, you know.
Worms, right?
A few thousand people, it seems like.
Did we wrangle up some worms?
I think there is some bait, some worms. Lieutenant Edwards and the boys will be there to give a demonstration on how to fish safely for not only the angler, but also the fish.
Try it.
How to do that as safe as possible. It's always just, it really is a fun time. Ackley Park, Elk City, 8 to noon, Saturday. Kids Fishing Derby. Come on down. Woodward, come on down.
Yes, please.
Come on down.
Come on down.
There are plenty
like
of spots.
Paul Barker, come on down.
Come on down. You are the next contestant on the
fishing
derby.
Got chances to win all kinds of prizes. I'm kind of sorry I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, that's right. You're not going
to
be there.
You have to report in for me.
I'll be there.
Report in on Monday for us how it went.
I think we only get about, 800.
It's amazing when at its max to see just there's not one empty
spot
along both ponds. It's just shoulder to shoulder fishing rods and reels.
Yeah, I mean,
lines getting wet. It's awesome.
We would never want to discourage someone from coming, but I will say this. If you have a kid that actually likes to fish, especially like, you know, casting, like fishing for bass, probably not your place.
This is more of a bobber situation.
Yeah. And inevitably, you know, there's kids that know what they're doing. There absolutely is. And inevitably, every single year, right off the bat, when everybody gets their spot, the kid will throw it down the bank, which that's what I would do if I was at a pond.
Yeah.
Before you walk down there, kind of fish ahead, and then about eight, you'll catch about 8 different people's pole. But seriously, okay.
But this is why they're there, to give lessons.
Absolutely.
To accurately show you how to cast and all that.
All right, let's think about all the things that we've seen caught.
Oh, boy.
I mean, species of fish-wise, we'll see perch. We'll see catfish.
Yeah.
We'll see bass. Last year we saw about a 2.5-pound crappie, which I hope, I was ready to fry it up right there in front of everybody. We actually saw like a hybrid or sand bass last year.
Yeah.
Those
big old carp.
Definitely see big carp.
Every once in a while, someone brings in a turtle.
There's been turtles. There's been frogs.
Frogs.
The one thing I don't remember anybody catching, which is a great thing for me, especially if I'm at the weigh-in station.
Snake?
Snake. That's exactly right. I don't remember anybody ever catching a snake, which is phenomenal. Kids, don't catch snake.
Please don't.
Yeah, here you go, Drew. Last year, my daughter caught a huge sand bass. It was like a 3 or 4 pound sand bass.
Wow.
Hybrid, what, you know. You know what I think happens there? I was having this conversation last night, actually. I think there's times when people go, say, to Foss or Canton or wherever, and they catch some fish, and then they get back, and they're like, you know what? I don't really want to clean those. And they go throw them in the pond.
Oh, okay.
I think that happens.
Okay.
I really do. Plus the fish we put in there.
Yeah.
Now, will we
now,
be
I'm
able to...
I'm not knocking the city when I say this, but do the city stock the pond at all, or is it really once a year with us?
I could not tell you the answer to that.
Because you know there's a ton of fish left over. Throw them back, don't we?
I mean, you have the ability to keep them.
But most of them are just thrown right back into the water.
I think so. They're weighed.
Pull the tag off.
Yeah.
And then we just toss them back. I think most of them are just tossed back.
But I think it would surprise you how many people transplant fish into that thing, where they catch it somewhere else and put it in there.
You know what I'm surprised we haven't caught or seen?
What?
Caught? A giant goldfish. You know what I mean? Little Johnny doesn't want to take care of his goldfish anymore. He takes it to the pond, throws it in. Have you seen that? And then they encourage. They don't want you to do that, okay? I'm not telling people to do that. They're kind of an invasive species is what I've heard.
I was thinking that the goldfish were getting there a different way.
A different way?
Uh-huh.
How else would a goldfish get in there?
Like through the toity. Like flushing him when he's not quite dead.
Oh, I don't think...
He could make it back out there.
I don't think...
There's no way he can make it back.
Well, I don't think when we flush, it goes to Ackley Park.
Well, I don't either, but you never know. You never know along the way. Maybe.
I don't think that's...
What's that book? Something, the goldfish that lived underneath the city, like Pittsburgh or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen stringers emptied into the park. Yeah, it happens all the time. I totally believe that.
What, like a crocodile?
I hope we don't see that.
Pet crocodile.
That's not going to be great. Anyhow, 8 to noon, it'll be fun. Come on down.
Yes.
Kids Fishing Derby on Saturday. It really is a lot of fun. There's always...
My favorite thing is seeing a little kid that's maybe their first time fishing. You know, a lot of kids, they get out there, it's their first time. I know for my kid it was, way back when my first year here.
Goldfish make easy food for the catfish.
Okay.
That 3 pound sand bass is definitely eating the little goldfish. We struck a nerve out there. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. Come on down. Let's see. Draft lottery tonight. What is your excitement level? Is it high? Is it just kind of a sense of, thank goodness we're finally here?
Well, I'm
tired of talking about it.
It's
the
first time as a Thunder fan that I can remember where, now I know the Thunder have been in the draft or the lottery. It's the first time that I have a ton of interest in it.
Yeah.
Now, am I excited? Maybe this is the old in me. I'm like, whatever. But I'm definitely interested. Now, I'll get excited once we see the numbers. And I'll probably get more excited when it's time to reveal. I'm like, okay, here we go. Hey, stop talking. Hold on. You know. And then if I see that the Thunder, knock on wood, and hopefully the lucky underwear works, they get the number one pick, then I'll get real excited. But right now I guess my answer is, not so much excited, but really, really, really interested.
Interested to see what happens.
Yes, really interested.
So it starts at 7:30. I would imagine there will be some. They won't just go right to it, because nothing in TV does that anymore.
Oh, it's just like college football playoff reveal.
Takes a little bit.
I'm like, come on, let's go. The games have been played. Let's show them. Let's go.
So sometime after 7:30, we'll know. And here's how it's going to work. So Oklahoma City has the fourth worst record this year, so the fourth best odds.
Right.
And so with that coin flip win over Cleveland where they got to that fourth slot, that means it'll start at 14, right? That's not going to be the Thunder. It can't be. Literally can't be.
That's how they reveal it. They go 14
to 1.
Okay, gotcha.
the first pick or the first reveal that you need to be worried about if you're a Thunder fan is number 8. And you do not want to see that logo. So from 8 up is where the Thunder, their logo will be revealed. Now, I'm kind of curious as to, because of course there's the Houston thing as well. So if Houston gets totally unlucky tonight and they fall out of the top 4, that pick goes to Oklahoma City at 5. That's as far as they can fall, is 5th. So the 8th pick, you don't want to see the Thunder logo. And then the
because is that telling us that,
well, if they got the 8th pick, they got terribly unlucky and they fell.
Right.
Doesn't have anything to do with Houston's pick.
That's where I was wondering. Or that's what I was
That's
wondering.
Just the Thunder's own pick.
Gotcha.
So at 8, you don't want to see it. Now, when you get, if you still haven't seen the Thunder's logo at number 5, it could start getting really exciting. Because if you haven't seen Oklahoma City's logo, it gets to the 5th pick. Now we're in dream time. And when it gets to the 5th pick, you want to see that red R with the slash around it. Because that would mean Oklahoma City got 2 picks in the top 5. Because Houston would have got terribly unlucky and fell to number 5.
And plan the parade now.
I mean, I know it's going to be, I know it's going to be talked about today on this station all day long.
Oh yeah, they're having a special tonight.
They are, but honestly, I don't think you can underestimate how important this is. And I think what you said earlier is why this franchise is never in the situation.
No,
because they're normally good,
right?
And the fastest way to get out of this situation is tonight.
Yes.
Now, does that mean if they end up with the 8th pick and then the Miami pick at, what, 17 or 18? Does that mean it's just, you know, everything is it's horrible and there's no chance? No.
Not at all.
Because between now and the actual draft, we'll talk about, and especially once we see where the Thunder are drafting, you know, the hits and the misses and the history of those picks.
Right.
And there's going to be good ones and there's going to be bad ones.
Yeah, and Presti's had more hits than misses.
And that's the one thing that gets you really, really excited, right, is because of his history.
Yes.
In the top 5. And you think to yourself, okay, everybody on God's green earth would have drafted Kevin Durant number 2. Everybody.
Yeah.
That wasn't some genius move. Everybody would have done it. The next year, very few people would have taken Russell Westbrook at 4. Very, very few. And matter of fact, if you can remember back that far, he was pretty well chastised by everybody for making that pick. Like, my gosh, what are you doing? There is no way. And turned out to be right.
Right.
And then the next year after that, very few would have taken James Harden at 3 the way Sam Presti did. And he turned out to be absolutely correct. So that's the thing that makes you thinking, okay, he's 3 for 3. Give him 2 of those.
Yeah.
Then they'll see what can happen next.
Right.
And how quickly this thing turns around. But I will caution you, if it doesn't go the right way, there's still so much more to do. Because at that point, with that Boston pick also, I guess you'd have, you know, say worst comes to worst, then you've got 8, 16, and 17 or 18. I think it's 18. You've still got 3 first-round picks. What can that package up? You know, how does that work?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah,
but
that starts creeping the question of, well, do you trade him for somebody now, or do you go for it and make a draft, make a pick with the picks?
Yeah, or can you give all 3 of those to move up into the top 5 for the guy
sure.
you want
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
happens
right.
then? But it's going to be really interesting.
Absolutely.
And it is. It's a different – I mean, we always have anticipation this time of year with the Thunder, but normally it's what's going to happen in game 2.
Exactly.
This is like a different feel.
Yeah.
Talking about tonight's draft, a lottery. The future of the Thunder hangs in the balance. Ping pong balls going the right way. So here's how this works. So the top 3 worst records in the league, they all have the same percentage chance as far as winning the lottery and getting number 1, but also to earn a top 4 pick. The difference is the floor that they could fall to. So with Houston, I mean, you can only go down four spots at max.
Okay.
So Houston, that's where it gets to that. They're top four protected.
Right.
If they get totally unlucky, it goes to the Thunder at five. And here's the deal. I know you're thinking, okay, well, that's not very likely. It's almost as likely as it's not. Because their percentage chance of getting a top four pick is 52.1.
Hmm.
So that means 47.9% chance that they fall to number five.
Right.
Those figures are the same for Detroit and Orlando. The only difference is Detroit, if they get totally unlucky, could go to six, Orlando to seven. So the top three are the same. Now the Thunder are right there at four. They have an 11.5% chance of getting number one. You know, 1 in 10.
Okay.
But they also have a 45% chance of being in the top four. So when you combine their pick at 45.1% to be in the top four and Houston's chance of 47.9% of not being in the top four, I think I've seen the math. It turns out it's like a 78% chance that Oklahoma City is going to get one pick in the top five. Or in the top four, I'm sorry. Or top five with that Houston, I guess you put it top five. I mean, those are really, really good odds.
Those are good odds.
I mean, you almost can't get better than that, except for, I guess, if you'd have been number three, you'd get a little bit extra boost.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it would be horrible. Horrible luck if Houston held on to theirs and you were like seven or eight or whatever. Mm-hmm. With the odds. So outside of just those two, we're going to be focused in on Houston and Oklahoma City for our rooting interest, obviously. There's another sneaky situation that could affect the title next year.
The NBA title?
NBA title.
Okay.
So you look at the sixth worst record in the league this year was Minnesota. And for a long, long time throughout the season, they were right there nip and tuck with Houston as the worst team in the league. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Edwards, first pick in last year's draft, started playing. Then you had Karl Anthony Towns kind of got healthy. What's his name? Russell? His first name just literally flew right out of my head, like right over top of your head. Anyway, those three started playing, and they won. I remember talking about this as we were going, okay, Oklahoma City's lost 21 in a row, or 23 or 25. What is Minnesota doing? And they won a few games at the end of the season, and here's what it did to them. If Minnesota's pick is not in the top three, guess who gets it?
The Warriors.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. Now, I'm not telling you that somebody they're going to draft could change the title, but maybe somebody they could trade for with the fourth pick in the draft might.
Yeah. Well, who would they go get?
I don't know. But that's another thing to just kind of watch for. Golden State gets Minnesota's pick if Minnesota isn't in the top three. So, if you want to root against the Warriors a little bit, hope that Minnesota's in that top three. That way they get that pick.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another team. You know, it's interesting to me to see these teams, and it feels like out of the 14 lottery teams, like eight of them are here every year.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that.
Detroit, Orlando, Cleveland without LeBron, Minnesota, Sacramento, the Hornets, the Pelicans. You know, it feels like those teams are always in this thing. And that's I say that to say this. That's another possible saving grace if you're a Thunder fan and this doesn't go how you want it to. Because these other teams have proven they can screw it up and draft the wrong guy.
Yeah.
They have proven that.
Yes, they have.
Time and again. That's why Sacramento's taken a first round, a top 10 pick in the last whatever year. I mean, it's been forever. I mean, they screwed up Luka Doncic. So they can do it. Trust me, they can do it. And so I guess what I say that to say this. When you're watching tonight, and if you see, oh, darn, Oklahoma City's 8th or 7th or whatever, then you hope like hell that these other ones are the ones that jumped. It's not the Warriors that jumped up there.
Right.
Or, you know, San Antonio that went from 12 to 2. You know, the smart ones. You hope it's the Kings or the Magic or the Timberwolves. You hope it's one of those where they can make an idiotic pick and then somebody falls right to you that should have never happened. Do you think it's overstating it to say that this is one of the most important nights in Thunder history?
No, I mean, it's up there. I can think of other important nights like that have shifted or changed the franchise going forward. Obviously, the night Harden was traded. I always go back to Game 2 of the Finals because I felt like if Thunder win that game, they had the inside track to win it all. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. Depends where they land. And then the next most important night is draft night. And then who they go with, who they pick, what they do with those picks. So, yeah, I mean, it's up there as a top three, top five most important day in the history of the Thunder franchise, sure.
I think that's right. I mean, because of everything we talked about during the season of, you know, I think everybody kind of switched around by the time it was over of – they can't do this again.
No. Yeah. Can't do it again.
You know, we went into last season thinking, okay, this is going to be a three-year tank to get as many top-of-the-line picks as possible.
I think when we immediately think of tanking and rebuilding, everybody immediately goes to what Philly did and how they did it year after year after year. Well, that's not the case. That's what they chose to do. But I think you don't have to do it 3-4 years in a row.
Well, and they were certainly helped or helped themselves, depending on how you want to look at it, with the injury bug.
Yeah.
Embiid, Simmons, you know, those guys were, you know, a year out, you know, and so it was easier for the process to happen when those guys were hurt. You know,
yeah.
It's just the way that went. That's just bad luck.
Made
or
good
luck.
Made the decision easier to did. Say, yeah, let's go ahead. Like, sure, let's say, you know, we're 20 games in next year and Shea gets hurt. I mean, how easy would it be to say for Sam, you know, okay, let's shut some of the guys down. Let's go ahead and scrap this year and do it again.
Those things pop up.
Yeah, it happens, but you can never foresee that. But back to what you're saying, yeah, this is it's back what I said when the Kemba Walker trade came down, is that told me that, in my opinion, you know, others feel like he'll never don. The Thunder uniform, yourself included. I've heard others. I've heard talk for Ben Simmons. I heard that yesterday too, outside of this show.
Yes.
But even wouldn't that even tell you that's this tanking's a 1 year deal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you turned Kemba Walker into Ben Simmons or anybody else.
Would you do that? That was going to be the last thing on NBA before we went to the Supreme
Court stuff.
The trade? Would you trade?
You asked me that yesterday. I don't.
Kemba Walker for Ben Simmons.
No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
I just wouldn't do it. I don't know. I just wouldn't do it. Because, and Barry Trammell made a great point that Kemba Walker is such a respected dude. He feels like he belongs in a Thunder uniform in a Thunder locker room. And I don't know if Ben Simmons is that guy. I get the youth and I get the potential. Of
and the rehab.
And the rehab.
I mean, this is NBA rehab up in here.
I get it. But I think if we want to restart this, if we're putting the jumper cables on the Thunder franchise right now, I'd like Kemba Walker to be on the other end of those.
Yeah, but Kemba Walker isn't going to lead you to a title.
No, but he can help them get back to winning ways.
Yeah, but so can Shea. I think that is an absolute no-brainer. If that is offered, if Presti turns down Ben Simmons for Kemba Walker, I mean, come on, man. There's no chance he would. I don't think.
I think that the chances of it actually happening are very slim.
I think they are too.
Because I think there are bigger
bigger fish they can fry?
Yeah, I think they're I think there are bigger prospects that will be offered for Ben Simmons.
Okay, that's
bigger.
A,
bigger. How do I say this without insulting
better
Kendall
players?
Walker? Better players.
Players.
Yeah, sure. Better.
I
players.
I mean, listen. The other
more,
one you
more
hear
attractive. Yeah.
The other thing you heard yesterday was, well, you know what makes sense? Ben Simmons for C.J. McCollum. Well, sorry, Kimball Walker. C.J. McCollum's way better than you.
Yeah.
And younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Yeah.
I understand that, but here's my question about all of this. I mean, yeah, it sounds great. You know, and there's rumblings out there that Philly's the one that turned down a trade package for James Harden centered around getting rid of Ben Simmons.
Hmm. To Houston?
To Houston. Whether or not that's true or not, we don't know. But I would say this. We think of his – it's interesting because when you put together trade packages for Ben Simmons, it's a different feeling than how the same people feel about his game. You know what I mean? Like you just said, I wouldn't do Kemba for Ben Simmons. But then in the same breath, we're talking about – but – Kemba Walker wouldn't be enough to get Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and that's clearly because of his potential and his talent, because he really is fantastic at every aspect of basketball except shooting. He really and truly is. I mean, Ben Simmons is great at everything but shooting.
Yeah.
And this is a horrible time to be that type of player.
Oh, I know.
I mean, but, you know, it's – I just think that that word potential, and it gets people fired in front offices all the time in every sport for chasing that potential of guys that have it but just never realize it. And Ben Simmons could be a guy that happens with. But
have you done the trade machine on this?
I know it works.
Oh, it works. What's interesting to me is it projects Oklahoma City to gain 8 more wins and Philadelphia to lose 6 wins.
It's because Ben Simmons is good. He just can't shoot. But here's the luxury the Thunder would have. He doesn't have to be their point guard.
Right.
He doesn't have to be. You know, and you started hearing that talk yesterday, even if he, you know, in the event he stays in Philly, of – well, do we even know what he is? And that's – I don't know if anybody does. I don't know if he does. But he's so skilled that you think, okay, give him the ball, let him have the ball in his hand. But that doesn't necessarily have to happen, I don't think. Anyway, that'll be – I think you'll – after tonight in the lead-up to the draft, once the lottery shakes out and everybody kind of knows where they're at, and if things don't go the Thunder's way – then my antenna would really go up for something like that. You know, if you end up with 8, 16, and 18, in worst-case scenario with the lottery, then can you go, okay, hey, Philly, what about this? And entice them with one of those picks.
Yeah. It was funny, the trade machine. I did the McCollum and Simmons.
Uh-huh.
Portland would lose 7 wins, Philly would gain 2.
Yeah, Portland, the one thing about
that work?
Because they lose. Portland was so bad on defense that they had to score. I don't know if Ben Simmons helps you score more than C.J. McCollum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's I think that win deal is going to be kind of funny depending on who he goes to and what they lack. And with Portland, it was score, 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 and hope he, you know, run up the score higher than you.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons probably isn't looked upon that analytically all that much. But you come to a team like the Thunder, who kind of is a little bit more balanced offensively and defensively, then you can really see it help. And plus, you're adding an all-star. I mean, the guy was third-team all-NBA last year as a 23-year-old, which means he's one of the best 15 people in the league. He's going to help that number, that win number for Oklahoma City for sure, just because of how much talent he has. But I think that's I mean, I think that would be a pretty good consolation prize if the lottery doesn't work tonight. If it does work, then...
all this is new.
How do you fit Ben Simmons alongside Evan Mobley? What about a backcourt of Cade Cunningham and Ben Simmons? Those are giants.
Oh, boy.
All right, so yesterday, it was about this time, really, toward the end of our show, the news of the Supreme Court ruling in a case against the NCAA came down, and it was a unanimous 9-0 opinion, which anybody that has been paying attention to this country for the past, you know, I don't know, decade or so, not much is unanimous in the world of judiciary, politics, that kind of stuff. But this was. And essentially what it's saying is that the NCAA is violating antitrust law by limiting education-related benefits that the schools can provide to student-athletes. This does not... this decision alone does not pave the way to pay players. That's not what this does.
Okay.
Basically, it allows schools, and they don't have to, it doesn't force them to, but it allows the schools to, say, you know, pay for a computer. That kind of educate, you know, for education. It's not, you know, you all of a sudden you get more baseball bats or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's education related expenses that the colleges can now pick up.
Okay.
But what it does do is opens up the door for another lawsuit that this sets precedent for. And then Katie barred the door. Here we go. And I think a big reason of why that opinion is out there is because Neil Gorsuch is the one that wrote the opinion, but then the concurring opinion was Brett Kavanaugh. And Kavanaugh, it's being viewed in the, you know, the legal world, the way interpreting what he said, that basically a lot of people think he is kind of shooting up the flare of if someone will make this lawsuit, it'll happen. The paying of players, because the NCAA, this is a quote from that concurring opinion, the NCAA is not above the law. NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. And there was another quote that was picked out of there about, you know, the basically saying the same thing, just using more, you know, real life situations. I referenced the softball in Oklahoma City and the baseball in Omaha, and how, you know, basically the NCAA is making money off these kids back, it's illegal in any other form of,
sure,
of industry.
Sure.
And so, I mean, and even the lawyer for the plaintiff in this case, he said, in light of Justice Kavanaugh's comments, we're rethinking whether we should once again challenge pay for play. Kavanaugh is suggesting you should go after everything. How much do you think that will... I mean, I'll say this. Because of the way that that's going and being interpreted, I don't think there's any doubt we're about to see that pay-for-play get challenged by somebody.
Sure, yeah, that's coming.
And it feels, you know, with the name, image, likeness stuff that's already out there, it's already kind of being debated a little bit in the halls of Congress. It feels like this is the beginning of the end of the NCAA as we know it. Is that a good thing?
It's a good thing as long as it doesn't tarnish what we love. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the great thing about for example, college football is the pageantry and the amateurism of it all to me. And I think college football can survive without the NCAA, but will it still be that same will that magic still be the same without it and, you know, it becoming too commercialized? I mean, it's already heavily commercialized for sure, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, does it open up the door to have Sonic sewn on, the Sonic logo sewn on an OU jersey? A la the NBA and the stuff they've been doing lately. But college football and college sports in general, I think, can't survive without the NCAA. Right? I mean, we have a playoff system without them.
Yeah, but do you want it to? And what I mean about that is, you know, here's the text. So amateurism will end at the 12th grade.
Sure.
Okay, so do we want college football, college basketball, whatever you're talking about, how much of it do we want to resemble the professional ranks?
I think a lot of people like the college game at any sport because it doesn't resemble the professional ranks. There's a clear divide there.
I do too.
And if it starts to resemble the professional ranks, then I think we'll see a lot of kids just say, I mean, we're seeing it in basketball right now, going straight to the G League, going overseas, going to Australia. I just don't know that if that's a good thing.
There you go. No magic will be left. It'll die. The worst thing to ever happen. The NCAA is just poorly run. I tend to agree with a lot of that.
Yeah.
From the text line. 225-9698. Send us your thoughts. I don't disagree with the NCAA has been poorly managed and poorly run on a lot of different things. But I also can totally see the argument of without it, we're just going to have younger guys and younger gals playing pro sports.
Right.
And you know what? Do I think it's fair that these, you know, college football programs and they rake in $100 million a year, and you know the student athlete doesn't get a penny of it? Do I think that's fair? Probably not. But do I think it's fair that that same athlete in certain situations doesn't have to go to class and earns the grade, and oh, by the way, doesn't leave there with $150,000 with the student loans the same way that the guy that's going to be a accountant does? No, I don't think that's fair either. But guess what? Life isn't fair. Hmm. And if somebody was paying big money to go watch a dude get on a chalkboard and, you know, find an equation to solve a tax problem, then guess what? It would go the other way. But I'm afraid that this decision and what's coming next and this vigor to ruin the NCAA is going to open a Pandora's box that no one realizes yet.
Right.
And next thing you know, college athletics, as you know it, is gone.
Yeah.
And it's not going to end up being what a lot of people dream it to be.
Agreed. Totally agree.
So what is the solution?
Is
there any way to avoid that at this point? And what does it look like if the NCAA does crumble? Does it go to kind of the leagues themselves, the conferences, you know, adopting rules? Do they work together? Do they have different ones?
I think that you would see college football have some kind of governing body, basketball have a separate governing body, compiled of commissioners of leagues, etc., presidents of universities. stuff like that.
What keeps the leagues together?
Well, look at the proposed college football playoff format with conference champions, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that's really the
only reason to
have a conference, have leagues. If you didn't have that, then what would be the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
As far as, you know, bragging rights for...
You know, you can still play. I mean, you can still have those rivalry games.
Sure you can. Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting topic and to figure out where this all goes.
This is the scariest episode of the Skinny on Sports because my vision of the future now of college football is not
the same.
It's not very good. It's like right now I'm thinking I better enjoy it while it lasts because it looks like it's the beginning of the end for what is described as college football is what? The pageantry.
Absolutely.
The passion of not just the fans but even players. But if you see a player saying, I got my endorsement deal. I don't need to give 100%.
I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
100%.
That's what's scary to me. And if I want to go to an NFL game, I'll go to Dallas or I'll go to Kansas City or Denver.
If I
want to go to a college game, I go to Norman or Stillwater.
Isn't that connection back to the team and the fans
right
at the pro level the way there is at the college level?
No.
You don't see Dallas having their champion barbecue and right. all those guys coming back. I mean, obviously there's no reason to recruit, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
The brotherhood.
Does it turn into free agency? Does it turn into, well, hey, you come here and we have all these car dealers that can sign endorsement deals for you and get you on their payroll and now it's open market. You see, I mean, that's and say goodbye to small schools having a chance. I mean, think about that.
Listen, the way that opinion reads, now I don't think this is going to happen, but the way that reads, it opens up the ability for, let's just say, Oklahoma. It opens up the ability for them to take every single resource that they have at their disposal and just put it to football. Don't play anything else. Now, that's a drastic, but that's some of the stuff that's possible with this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thinks that's really going to happen, but it could. And those are things that are never even considered. And so, you know, the glee that you see out there for, oh, this is the end of the NCAA. That's all fine, Bob, this morning.
Right.
You know, this is great. Are we sure? And you know, but here's the problem with all this. We're also, I mean, my viewpoint is a little bit skewed because I'm being a little bit probably romantic about the idea of amateur athletics at the college level. Because the truth of it is,
yeah, I know.
When you get into practice and what's really happening, how much do these guys really care about the school the way that we think they do? Case in point, just on the text line here, this has already started. I'm talking about, you know, not having as much tie back with these guys, just opting out of bowl games,
yeah,
opting out of seasons. As soon as you get two losses, you can't do this. Boom, done. NFL draft.
Right.
And so maybe the idea.
And that was the idea why I liked the proposed playoff is that you make more games more important.
That's right.
You know, you give, oh, okay, we lost two. We still have a chance to win the conference. We still have a chance to get into the playoff and still have a chance at a national title. I'm not going to opt out. I'm mm-hmm. going to do whatever it takes to stay on the field. Because if I get to a national title game and I win it, I'm suddenly thrust up in the spotlight of maybe a top 10 draft pick.
Oh, sure.
So,
No doubt. That's
my,
the goal.
My question, and I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. You know, we open up doors for, you know, pay to play and getting athletes paid. Well, it has to be equal, right?
Yeah, where does Title IX fit in? That's a huge part of this, too.
The diver is going to say, wait a minute. I put in just as much time in the pool as the left tackle does at practice on the field.
Sure.
Where's my pay?
Well, they have to get paid.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not just college football.
So no one's going to be happy. The football player's going to be, wait a minute, only got this much? Well, we had to take it. It has to be right down the middle. Everybody has to get an equal share.
That's right.
So Jane had to get just as much as Johnny.
That's correct. That is correct. And that's where the name, image, likeness stuff was a little bit more of a free market situation than just paying everybody the same. And I mean, and because of that, what you just said, you can see why these schools in the NCAA didn't want this to happen.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, obviously people like money. That's just the truth. But it, you know, there's...
Well, just like Jim, I'm a capitalist. I'm all about making all as much as you can.
Sure. But the, you know, the name, image, likeness is a little bit more of a quote-unquote fair representation of your ability to earn and your importance in earning money for the school versus just, hey, everybody have a little handout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, capitalism beats socialism.
Yeah.
We've never had so many pictures of the boss at the Orange Bowl in the t-shirt texted into us. It's amazing everybody just had that on their phones.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.